The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets. The reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online for our social media. And we're joined by Erica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got the sniffles?
Just a little bit.
It's a temperature difference, isn't it? The studio, yeah. The outside. Yeah. Welcome back.
When you're so used to sitting in front of the microphone.
Yes.
Sometimes you just like.
You forget.
Yeah. Do the big sniffle. Yeah.
All the time. All the time. And we love it because, well, it tells our listeners, hey, we're human.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into our first buzzword this morning. The Ukrainian embassy is not very happy about an upcoming performance in Seoul where the Bolshoi Ballet is to make a stop by for a few days.
That's right. This planned performance or performances in Seoul has drawn, you know, pretty harsh criticism from the embassy of Ukraine and diplomats from several European countries. Russia's state-owned Bolshoi Ballet are scheduled to perform here in Seoul soon.
It's not the entirety of the ballet company, but it's a great portion of it and a particular dancer closely associated with Vladimir Putin. Now, the performances are scheduled to take place amid, of course, a prolonged war between Russia and Ukraine as potential to ignite. It turns out a diplomatic dispute. Art is not just art when hundreds are losing lives.
That's right. It's a really sensitive issue here.
Isn't it?
Yep. Critics warn that Seoul's apparent indifference toward hosting artists that openly support Russian President Vladimir Putin could worsen the political tensions. The Ukrainian embassy released a statement on Monday, which said that against the backdrop of escalating hostilities, death and destruction in Ukraine, showcasing these performers of what it called an aggressor state amounts to legitimizing Russia's unjustified aggression. It added, quote, with all due respect to the pluralism of opinion and inclusive nature of cultural exchange, we call on our international partners to suspend cultural cooperation with the criminal Russian regime and its cultural representatives.
Should we group all of Russia into one narrative? That's also a question we could ask, not to defend what's been happening in Ukraine, of course. The war, I understand the sentiment. I'm just trying to better understand it because this is also a performance hosted by the private sector, not the public sector in Korea. And so does that complicate things? Now, has the Russian embassy responded to the harsh criticisms?
It released its own statement on Tuesday yesterday, basically rebuking the criticism by the Ukrainian embassy. The message was that culture and art should not be manipulated for political agendas. It also denounced the critique as an, what it called, quote, unexpected level of rudeness and viewed Ukraine's response as part of the West's ongoing but ineffective efforts to isolate Russia. So just to give you a brief explanation of what this upcoming performance is about, it's titled Mo Dance. It's a ballet collaboration between a Bolshoi Ballet and the luxury fashion house Chanel. And it's scheduled to premiere at the Seoul Art Center from April 17th to the 21st. The performance features world-class Russian prima ballerina Svetlana Zakharova. You know, she's won the Benoit de la Danse twice, which is regarded as the Oscars of ballet.
And that here's where it gets, I think, more tricky. Zakharova, aside from her reputation as being a world-class dancer, the Ukraine-born ballerina is a widely known public supporter of the Russian President Vladimir Putin. I think this is where the large scrutiny is rooted in.
She's a member of Russia's dominant United Russia Party. You know, she endorses the Putin regime. In 2014, she signed an official letter supporting Russia's annexation of Crimea. Another performance by the Bolshoi Theater titled Ballet Gala Concert is also scheduled to take place at the Sejong Center for the Performing Arts here in Seoul from April 16th to the 18th. It's led by star conductor, Russian conductor Valery Gergiev. And, you know, he's also a prominent supporter of Putin and was anointed anointed as the head of the Bolshoi Theater in December of last year, just recently.
So in case you don't follow, the Bolshoi Theater has long been regarded as a cornerstone of Russian artistic culture. They tour to many different countries under normal circumstances. Mm-hmm. But since the Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the state-owned company has faced widespread boycotts in several Western countries. Should Seoul follow suit? Does the Seoul government, does the Korean government have the authority to act essentially a private sector performance? It seems that, you know, the middle company that's bringing the show to Korea has defended their decision, saying, you know, this in the works for years since before the pandemic.
That's right. And that's exactly what the South Korean Foreign Ministry said on Monday, that the performances are organized and led by the private sector. And it basically declined to elaborate.
Okay. Not here to choose sides. How do you feel, listeners? It's clearly a divisive topic. I touch you one at that. Let's move on to our second buzzword this morning. Now, digital kiosks, notoriously difficult for anyone who's not tech savvy.
Right.
And it's not just age that gets in the way. I don't care much for it either, Erica.
You know, it's not just about the age, but, you know, if you're using one of these digital kiosks for the first time, it's confusing, right?
It is absolutely confusing because, you know what? Each vendor would have something different. Sometimes
how do I move on to the next, you know, page?
Am I you call it. Next?
Yeah. The next step.
Yes. All right. So digital kiosks, apparently at least trying to get a senior-friendly update with simplified language guidelines. Okay.
That's right. To help seniors in their 70s and 80s who find it challenging to use these digital kiosks that are increasingly popping up everywhere. Yep. The National Institute of the Korean Language has suggested using simpler expressions. A report titled Development of a Model for Easy Language Use in Automated Machines, or kiosks, includes specific examples of easy-to-understand language, everyday language, and screen guidance models for use at these digital kiosks.
And frankly, they're just about everywhere, aren't they? Yep. Banks, restaurants, rest areas, all of my favorite cafes, and it's confusing to say the least. It's increasingly popular, so clearly it's here to stay. Yep. Now, as you can imagine, should we leave no one behind, including all the vulnerable groups and the elderly who might first struggle to utilize them?
That's right. So based on a survey of the usage of digital kiosks by 200 individuals in their 70s and 80s, the Language Institute has proposed some improvements, and I would like to mention a few today.
Yeah, okay. So what kind of improvements? Yeah. How do you simplify language? How do you simplify the guidelines?
So for kiosks that are in restaurants, they're planning to add descriptions of ingredients or even cooking methods or even introducing illustrations and photos. You know, all of these have been recommended as an alternative. For instance, instead of writing pasta in English, they might be displaying it in Korean along with a description like an Italian noodle dish cooked with various kinds of sauces. And perhaps this could help older generations understand a little better because, you know, pasta alla carbonara is... It's carbonara, but you know, for the elderly, they might be really unfamiliar with the term, and they're like, "What is this?"
You know, my trip to Italy. Yeah. Most of the times, I was very confused because pasta names are incredibly long.
Yes,
and
strozzapreti.
Like I know what that is. So it's not just the elderly. So maybe it's this really can help everybody who's not familiar with the cuisine, and we're not singling out Italian.
Exactly.
When I'm at a French restaurant, I'm worse.
Yeah, you know, instead of using terms like rare or medium or well done for, you know, how done a steak is, the Institute is suggesting changing the terms to lightly cooked, moderately cooked, and thoroughly cooked in Korean for better understanding or easy understanding among the elderly. The report also clarified complex terms, including foreign languages, loan words even, into easier Korean words.
Okay, so this is a valiant effort. I'm going to share the story and only once and then retire because I'm moderately embarrassed by it. Uh-huh. So when I was very, very young, like first grade, I didn't understand the concept of rare, medium, and well done. In fact, I only knew medium because the adults in the family seemed to always order
medium.
That's kind of a safe choice, isn't it? But I thought it was the size of the steak. the size of the meat. So a first grader, Lena Kwan, decided, I would like a large.
Yes.
That's so cute.
Yeah, because I was in first grade. But what I mean is it could be confusing if you're, you know, coming across a terminology for the first time in your life.
I'm pretty confident that you're not the only person who has made that same exact mistake. Please don't leave me
hanging, because now I'm embarrassed and I'm going to retire that story forever. Really. All right, moving on to our final buzzword this morning. Taylor Swift is still touring.
Yeah, she is.
What seems to be a problem here? She's in Singapore. She should be performing and everything is solid, but neighboring countries have a bone to pick.
Yeah, so apparently Singapore has paid a grant to Taylor Swift to perform.
A grant?
Yeah, in the country. And this has led to complaints from its regional neighbors. Regional meaning Southeast Asian neighbors. So Singapore's culture minister, Edwin Tong, said on Monday that the speculation about the size of the grant was not accurate. You know, although he declined to reveal the specific size and conditions of the grant, he said that the government also was confident that the economic benefits of Taylor Swift's 6 concert dates in the city would be significant and outweigh the size of the grant. Well, there are a couple of controversies surrounding this. It's the size of the grant, first of all.
Okay.
And the condition of the grant, which we're going to get to.
Okay. So the condition of the grant has been one of the roots of the controversy. So maybe we can explain that.
Yeah. So to provide some context, Tong's remarks came after it was revealed that Singapore had paid Taylor Swift between $2 to $3 million on the condition that she not perform in any other country in Southeast Asia.
They wanted an exclusively
exactly.
in Singapore.
And Thailand's Prime Minister, Srettha Thavisin, shared this piece of information at a business forum last month. And the Thai president was quoted as saying in the Bangkok Post, quote, if I had known this, I would have brought the shows to Thailand. Concerts can generate added value for the economy, which we all know.
Swiftonomics.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Philippine lawmaker Joey Salceda last week called on Manila to grill Singapore about this reported grant. He said that such behavior is, quote, not what good neighbors do. Singapore officials had previously acknowledged offering Taylor Swift a grant to come to the city state, but it did not disclose its terms at the time.
You know, because the first question that popped into mind is some kind of ethical boundaries for a state offering a grant to a pop star to come exclusively to their country?
And not go anywhere else?
Yeah. Obviously, it's not going to sit well with your neighboring countries.
Correct.
Did you play fair, Singapore? Now, obviously, Singapore saw the benefits that Taylor Swift could bring to tourism and related sectors, including accommodation, retail, dining. So they jumped at the opportunity. And to be fair, everyone wants to bounce back from the worst of the pandemic. Yeah. Some of these, you know, countries
of
are
course.
Very reliant on tourism. But did you play fair?
Yeah, it doesn't sound very nice.
No, it doesn't.
Anyways, hotels, airlines saw demand for flights and accommodation around the dates of the concerts jump by up to 30%. Unsurprisingly.
So it worked.
Yeah, it worked for Singapore.
Thanks, Erica.
Pleasure.
Long live Taylor Swift.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.